It'll be boring up there. It'll be very boring. That makes me feel really good. It does and it doesn't. Oh, shoot. Oh, Father, we just give this to you. We want your words. We want what you want. Our desire is to see you glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I finally got home last night about 11. I babysat all day yesterday, so that may be a little bit of it. She had pawpaw time pretty much all day yesterday, and now she wants more pawpaw time.
Sounds like an addiction.
It is. Because I like Ellie time, too. Oh. So, not sure where this fits in today. I think it fits in. I was sitting back there and listening to everybody talking, and I'm like, how and what I feel like I'm supposed to be talking about fits into all this stuff. And we pray that it does, because I know that God has a way of doing it. The other thing I was hoping is that more people would stand up and talk, and I could just say, you know, we've had enough today. You guys can just go home and enjoy the rest of the afternoon. But it's right there in the middle. I was trying to encourage Isaac to stand up and preach a little bit, but he wouldn't. There's a few things here I find interesting is, you know, how somebody said something about saying something to the kids, like Linda, you did, and they reading it wrong and feeling that they're discouraged and they feel like it's a reprimand and things like that. What's funny is we went to Disney on Ice this week, and about 20 years, it'll be 15 years, so 16, I don't know how many years, it's been a long time. Probably going on 20, I don't know. Went to Disney on Ice, and my little daughter wanted one of those little torchy things that light up and spin and all that kind of stuff. And we told her, no, they're made cheap, they're too expensive. You know, back then I think they were 30-some dollars or something like that. It's like, you don't want one, you don't want one. I want one, I want one. Well, Dad gave in and got her one. And immediately, like it wasn't even 5 minutes, I don't think, it wasn't very long at all, it broke. And it's like, well, see, they're junk, and they broke. And it's been sort of an ongoing joke type thing that it traumatized her life for all those years because it broke so quickly. And so when we went to Disney on Ice this time, I thought, I'm going to think ahead, looked on Amazon, see if there's any wands like the ones that were there, and there was. So I bought one for Ellie, so it spun around and had lights. But I also just on eBay just put Disney on Ice, and there was the wand that Anna had 20 years ago. So I bought it, and I gave it to her. I said, does this close the circle? And she pretty much said, I wasn't in trouble. And she's been holding on this that she thought she was in trouble because she bought this torch or whatever. We used her money, but she thought she was in trouble, and she wasn't. It was just a learning lesson. So I thought it interesting. I mean, that's 20 years. How long it takes sometimes for it to come around. And it's sort of fun then to have that old toy again. So that's a side note. That's nothing to do with the sermon, I don't think, again. So last week, somebody was dragging around a mirror, looking at it, enjoying himself. No, I see it there because I can see the reflection on it. So you look in a mirror, and what do you see? You see a reflection, right? So the light rays are going into it. They bounce back. That's called a reflection. It's reflecting the light that's coming in from this way. It reflects from the mirror and then comes back at you. And that's what a reflection is. And then what you see in the mirror, when those light rays come back, that reflection, you see yourself, or you see what you're looking at. You see the image. You see the image of what you're looking at. And that's sort of where I'm going today. I'm sort of doing looking at doing just an overall view of Revelation, of the law, and what some of this could be like. So the other part about this week is we had some nice weather. 70 degrees outside, beautiful weather, the sun shining, feeling good and warm, the presence of the birds coming back, things starting to grow again, the green's coming, you know life is starting all over again. Spring reminds us that this is an eternity. This keeps going on and on for now, for the physical. It starts, dies, repeats, but it's something that recurs every year, in and in out. Year in, year out, we get spring, we get summer, we get fall, we get winter. Every year, faithfully, these seasons come around and we see them. And these storms then come through as the weather fronts come. We see the wind and the power of these storms, the tornadoes that hit Alabama here just recently. We see the power and destruction. Even though it's destruction and horrible that way, there's such power there. There's power that we cannot even imagine. And it's there. And then the wind in itself. It comes and it goes. We don't know where it goes. We don't know where it comes from. It's everywhere. It covers the whole world. And all these things are so good for us. See some of the words I've used there? It's a reflection. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, He created them. How did He create them? Like if we create something, if we make a picture, we put it up there, the image that we draw is actually a reflection of who we are. We can see the person who drew the image in that picture. In creation, God created the heavens and the earth, and He reflected Himself in it. He reflected his nature of being all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, faithful, never changing, merciful, gracious. It's reflected in His creation Himself. David declared it in Psalms, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of His hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge." Creation itself reveals God. "They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun." He is declared. Paul repeats it in Romans, for it said, "The wrath of God is being revealed against heaven." Why? Because since the creation of time, God has made it plain to them. So from the creation of time, creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have clearly been seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Looking at the very nature itself, you can see God's attributes reflected in who He is. That's known as natural revelation. Naturally, God has been revealed to us from just creation in itself. And then, on the sixth day, God created man. The reflection of His creation had become an image. An image of who He is. That was man's purpose on this world, to bring the reflection of God in creation to the image of God of who He is. God gave us eternity. He gave us an ability then to live forever, immortality. We have power for our own lives. We knew, we had faithful, we had these attributes of God given to us, and we see it in people's lives. Whether they're saved or not, we see these attributes in people's lives. The problem is, Satan did it too. The image was not good enough. If you eat of this tree, you will not only be an image of God, you will be God. So Satan destroyed the image and made us think that we could be that image apart from God. Such a fool we were. We still would do it. I shouldn't say we. Yeah, we all are. Because we'd all say, why would I want to be an image of God when I can be God? And we would do the same thing. We would go after that when God wants us just to be an image of Him. And then once we become more like Him, then we have the ability to corrupt all these attributes that God has given us. The power for do good becomes the power to do evil. Knowledge of good and knowledge of evil. We can be just like God, but we can also be unjust. Look after our own desires, not the desires of the other. What's interesting is once we have our sinful nature in ourselves and we're trying to be regenerated, Paul says in Galatians what the fruits of the Spirit are. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. Ever since we've done that Bible school on the fruits of the Spirit, I get them all screwed up because they're listed one way in the Bible, listed one way in the song, and I want to screw them up and put them together and get all screwed around. But if you look at the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit are the image of God. That's what He's producing in us. That's what we want to see, not us being God, but the image of God in us. So then he went to divine revelation. The natural revelation, divine revelation. It started out, the divine revelation, with God saying what his plan was, what he was doing. He was revealing the plan that he put into place since the creation of time to people. One of those individuals, of course, was Abraham. He revealed his plan to Abraham. And what's it say? By faith, Abraham believed. By faith. Faith is what? It is the, I don't know if I wrote it down or not. It's the hope of things unseen. Things not seen. Thank you. So faith is taking what you can't see, what you can't feel, but you know in the depths of your heart that it is true. You can question it. Faith comes in when you go, no, I know it's true. And you stand on the faith and of assurance. And that's how God revealed himself to Abraham. It produced faith in Abraham, which then ended in the covenant with Abraham. I think I said that right. So he put his total trust in the invisible. And like I said, it produced a covenant. That covenant went on, that faith went on then to Isaac and to Jacob. The faith of the promise yet to come. The faith of the promise. Then with Jacob, what happened? Famine. When his boys got going up, I mean, there was discord in the family. There was a bunch of stuff. We saw Satan working in the lives of these people. And famine hit. And famine led them to get their sustenance from the world, from Egypt. They depended on Egypt then for their food. Though God provided Egypt with the food, they went to Egypt and started to depend on it. And all of a sudden, what God had given them in taking care of them in Egypt for a while, they began to think that Egypt provided for them. And maybe God didn't mean that much. Their faith waned. Where was the faith of Israel? Their faith had turned from that of which would look towards God to that which would look towards men and the world. How do we correct this? How do we change this? How do we harness this sin, this desire to look at the world and get you back to God? There's only one way to say, this is the right way, this is the wrong way. Thus, the law came into existence. The law was there since the beginning of time, because the law is just a reflection of the attributes of God, of what His desire is, of what He wants from us. That's all the law is. But because faith had gone away, law was enacted. Whenever there is a devoid of spiritual power, law will take its place. But the problem with the law, it says what is wrong. It tells you how to correct it. But it also gives you a sense of security. Hey, if I follow the law, I'm good. Or I can do this and I'll follow the law. But it also gives an ability to be manipulative. Does it really mean that I can't eat this or I can't do this on the Sabbath? And it starts manipulating it to reflect our evil desires into the law. And that goes on and on and on. So the law in itself is not bad. It's what we do with the law. And it's how it affects us. The Pharisees all manipulated the law. They took it for their advantage. They also said, adding to it, if you're not supposed to do A, well, then we're going to have you stop at B. We're going to put the fence at B so you can't get to A, trying to control the population, quote, to be righteous, to be that of God. But the law itself then, it just became a judgment. Instead of what it was supposed to do in bringing you back to faith in Christ or faith in God, it brought judgment, routine, manipulation, and a security that we're okay, even though they weren't, because they followed the law. But because it was a reflection of who God was, God's plan was that the law was going to come later. And we see that in Christ. So you've got to remember, Matthew 5:7, Christ says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Christ did not abolish the law. He fulfilled it. And that should make us rejoicing. That should make us comforted. That should give us hope. Because He's fulfilled everything that we cannot do. He fulfilled it for us. So divine revelation comes through faith, through the law. And again now, what has this done? Because Christ came, died on the cross, took away our sins, did the ultimate sacrifice, just as the law was saying in there, it's back to faith. It's back to what God intended in the first place, for us to stand on faith that He is going to do what He says He's going to do, and we are who He says we are. So now, I am not afraid to look in that law. I am not afraid to look in that mirror. Because when I look at a reflection of myself, I do not see myself, but I see Christ alone. You can see your faults. You can see everything wrong with you. But over it is Christ. So we don't have to be afraid of the law. We don't have to run from the law. We can embrace the law because it is Christ. So rejoice. Rejoice in what God has done for us. Praise Him for the natural revelation that He's given us as we go and walk around. Praise Him for the divine revelation that He gives us in the law and what He tells us by ourselves and in corporate groups like we're doing now. Praise Him that He wants to be found and He lets Him be found. And all we have to do is look, relax, and see Him. Praise be God the Father. This week, let's look for His revelation. Let's look for what He's done in our lives. Let's praise Him, and let's go from there and keep talking. Amen. That's it. Father, we just thank You and pray that You will guide us this week, that You will direct us. Father, that You'll open our eyes to the natural revelation, the natural beauty, displaying the reflection of You. Let us see the image of You in each other. Let us see the image of You in ourselves and not our sinful desires and what we want, our flesh, but to see Christ and Christ alone. Just give You the honor, glory, and praise in this week. In Jesus' name, amen.